Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Wednesday evening. Welcome as we get ready to sit down and get down with the chefs for 2+ hours of hopefully insightful information. Welcome to Soul Train Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Train Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Doing damage in your efforts to maximize the who, what, when, where, why, and how here and now. Yeah. You can check us out at www.BASNNewsroom and like Nancy, BASNNewsroom.com over in France. Shout out to the Brother Man Network, which includes my man Radio Reggie down in Virginia, in Richmond, Sister Fred, in North Carolina, my man Pat Freeman, the mighty Obi, doing as Obi do in all of Western New York, his presence be that powerful, and others when they chime in and check in. You know, before we go any further, let's go around the world in 80 seconds or something like that. Okay, if it's Wednesday, then Russia must be invading Ukraine. Now, this little motherfucker, Vladimir Putin, or whatever the fuck he is, he reminds me of a guy I worked with at the phone company. Now, under normal circumstances, he would be an okay cat. But he was 5'8". And he felt as if God had shortchanged him of at least 4 inches. If he had been 6 feet, probably would have been one of the nicest brothers I have around. But I think he cursed God for those shortcomings, and he tried to manage like that. And, you know, that really doesn't work long-term, but it's a pain in the ass when somebody keeps trying to lift themselves up when they know 5'8 is about as good as it's going to get. So they try to impress themselves in other ways. Well, ways to fall short, of course. Now, I bring this up because we know the little short dick man, Vladimir Putin, has done more than enough to stir up enough shit. He's going to continue to do this as long as they let him. He wants the European map to be complete with the reinstallation of the entire Soviet Union. Let us not make any light of this. That's his goal. Because when the Soviet Union dismantled, it was on his watch. And many people found out that half the Soviet Union was Muslim. You know, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, all of those. Everybody in that vein is a Muslim country, all part of the mighty Russian bear. But bear had no claws. So now he's trying to get it all back. And as his 80 seconds winds down, he's going to play pussy with Joe Biden. And whether he jumps or not, it doesn't matter. All we know is that two countries ruled by white men are fucking up the whole world. And will willingly fuck up the whole world in order to make their point. Thus proving that hearing that they will destroy everything before they share anything. With that, I bring in my colleague, Gary Norris-Gray. What up, G?
Well, I was sitting here in the dark of the house. We lost power about a half hour ago.
No kidding.
No, I got a candlelight. I was here by a candlelight.
Yeah.
Your point. Look, the Soviet Union is still mad about the Berlin Wall going down.
Yeah, that's true.
Berlin was. The key to everything. When Bernie went down, that was the end of the communist power. Now, this guy was so bad.
you're not wrong. You know, after that happened, I happened to be in Cologne when that shit happened. And Cologne, of course, is in the West. But the deal was, once it started coming down and people were spilling sect, which is German champagne, they said, hey, y'all go ahead and party. We got you. Enjoy yourselves. And they did that the whole weekend. I think the expenditures came up something like 200 marks for Germany. Anyway, that Monday, you know, everything kind of ended because you know when you get a chance, you got to pay the band. And ultimately, they had no jobs to go back to because they were East German sanctioned. No stipends. The East German money, the DDR money, was worth less than toilet paper. Technology, they were poor cousins compared to the West. So it was a mess, literally. So they woke up after the party and found out they didn't have anything, as my brother Tony McClain comes in the mix as well. Good evening, T. How's it going?
Michael, also, you gotta think about this. Venezuela, Colombia,
yeah,
Chile, Cuba,
yep.
All of these states are now looking to Russia and say, "Ooh, look who we got here." And the America is in a mess right now. Because America has unemployment. America has the virus still getting around.
Yep.
America has homelessness.
Yep.
You can't talk about somebody else if you don't talk about taking care of your house yourself. And we ain't taking care of our house ourselves.
Of course. And you're right. You can't. I got Radio Reggie on the line with me as well. And Reggie, what do you think as you see and shit all this chaos happening around you, Russia doing whatever they want to do, and just threatening What was that?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay. Gentlemen, peace and blessings. Deacons for Defensive Justice. Now, see, this is what bothers me about this soon-to-be war with Russia and China and everything. Number one, did anybody hear what that traitor 45 saying about Putin? Did you guys hear about what he said today?
Yeah, I heard that.
Called a man a fucking genius. He's a fucking
That's
traitor.
Right.
He's aided and abetting enemy of this country who does everything he can to do anything to undermine this country, and not one fucking person has condemned what he said.
Not one TV station, not one network has said as a genius act.
He basically has given a crap.
Guys, think about it like this. There's been more of a call to fire Juwan Howard than it is to
no shit.
There you go.
Oh, you hit the white guy. Oh my God. Yes, that's real talk. We have D. Orlando Ledbetter with us as well. D, it's been a while. How you been? And what do you think about all this crap that's going on out east of Russia?
but Mike, here's my question. We as Africans in America need to learn how to have a fucking worldview. Number one, we have to understand something. China imports more oil from Russia than any country. Number two, we know that the colonizers, China, France, and others, have gone in and colonized this country of Africa. They say, oh, Reggie, what's the big deal? Well, your gasoline price is going to go to the fucking roof. That's number one. Oil that you heat your home is going to go, and also commerce. I mean, we got to understand something, man.
And a lot of our young people today, my wife's daughter is in the Navy. And I can tell you, when you got people in the military, it's young people that come back in body bags, not old heads. And they think COVID-19 is doing damage. Let a fucking war hop off. That bitch might go for the next 9 to 10 years.
Yeah,
countries will make money with war. That's a big way to make a lot of money.
War is good business. They never said that it's not.
Yeah.
But Darryl,
hey, they killed the president because of it.
How about that? Darryl, but tell us what's going on. Because you're probably out and up in the air and everywhere. What do you see? Mm-hmm. What's happening on the ground?
What do I see? Well, I see about 5 airlines consistently flying troops from the United States on a commercial airline overseas. They've been getting into this for years, brother. This is nothing but control over the waterway. The Ukraine, which is less than 27 years old, right, as a country, sits where? Where does it sit? Oh, that's what does it sit? That's direct access into Russian territory, and they block their waterways. Why is Israel so important? The Suez Canal. Why is Panama so important? This is all about waterways, man. It's about water. Who controls the water? China's navy has been slowly upgrading itself. And if you're Putin, I don't think most people in this country know what NATO is and what it stands for and why. Russia feels threatened, because as massive as Russia is, Russia's development, St. Petersburg in Moscow is nothing but 4 hours away. That's like me coming down there to Norfolk or come to see Red.
That's right, just down. Speak up a little bit, please. Speak up a little.
Right. Hang on, can you hear me? I'll turn it up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Yep.
That's a little bit better.
Okay.
A little bit better.
So it's this is the control of waterways, man. It's control of waterways. If I can control water, I can control you. Why is Turkey so important? Why did Turkey have to be part of NATO? It's the same thing with the battle of the 300, the 3,000, Leonidas, all of this garbage that you see on TV. That's what it's all over. That's what it's all about. And Reg is right in the sense that as black people in this country, we have to understand how the world is separated. And what controls? 90% of international commerce gets shipped by boats. 90%.
Mm-hmm.
90%. The mob knew about that. Look, control the docks. I can control your access to everything. So
that's true.
This thing with Russia, I don't think it's anything important, although I've heard it said, briefly, listen to the conversation. It's about money. So if the powers that be need to have war to make money, because we just shut down that thing. It wasn't a war. That conflict and invasion of Afghanistan, the conflict and invasion of Iraq, they'll make war. They'll make war. And we thought the redhead jackass was bad. What about the Biden? What about Kamala? I mean,
yep.
They're doing the same shit. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still a monkey. Is it a white monkey, black monkey, green monkey? It's still a monkey.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's the truth. You know, there's nothing that Biden or Harris has done that would help to smooth this out, see a profitable and safe path that would benefit everybody. They're walking around starry-eyed because this cat's flexing, and nobody really is stopping him from doing that. Now, I know you ran into Biden when Obama was president, but he had sized him up then too, and obviously thought that Biden couldn't do anything to him, otherwise he wouldn't have stepped to him like he did.
Michael, we are always reacting.
Yeah.
Now, we knew this guy, but a month ago we knew this guy. Why did we act 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Gary, I got a question for you, Gary. Who's going to be the fall person? And follow me close to what I'm about to say. we have a black individual that's supposed to be, I guess, what, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, I mean, the military.
Yep.
His face
yep.
is out there. You got a black female who's the vice president.
Vice president, yep.
You see where I'm going with this? Who's going to be the ball president? Who's a power person, Mike?
As you would say, there's some meat in that sandwich. So I agree with your premise. Yes. There's enough room for everyone to fuck up in this. But what's worst in all of this is the fact that we're inundated with all these breaking news shits. And it's not breaking news. The news broke a long time ago. He wants this piece of real estate back. And really ain't a lot you motherfuckers are gonna do, because if you jump off, it means everybody's gotta jump off. They don't want that. They can't afford that. Nobody can afford that. Putin is playing the ultimate game of chicken with everybody, and because nobody's got no backbone, they're gonna let him go. You know he had at least one conversation, whether you like Obama or not. You know they had at least one conversation, and Obama got roar in his ass and he said, look, you little short motherfucker. Don't start no shit. Won't be none. And he backed the fuck up. But Putin comes in, and he
got Obama did more missions than any other fucking president, man. He was lighting up the Middle East left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Drones are flying 24 hours a day on Obama.
Trump can't even talk now because he's so busy sucking Putin's dick. He got shit in his mouth. He can't even gargle. And that's going to be that way because now they got other politicians in the States thinking and saying the same nonsense. Now, I really don't want to belabor this thing any longer than it needs to be, but you get the idea. Why would you put people in harm's way, black, white, or otherwise, American soldiers who always will have to suffer because it's a stupidity done by so-called
world
leaders?
You got to get those approval numbers up, Mike. You know how it is. Look at Bush. You got failing numbers. Start a war. Get your numbers up. It's the oldest trick in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me bring this conversation down home over to North Kakalaki, where Professor is living deep in it. Professor, are you up? And good evening.
Good evening. I'm not sure how up I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said,
I'm sitting in my working chair.
you're sitting and living in a military town. So obviously the alarm bells ring there before anywhere else. What the hell is going on down there right now?
Well, everybody's on edge. We got, let's put it this way. They say that we have shipped out a brigade or parts of a couple of other brigades.
Okay.
I was at the library a few days ago, was it Thursday or Friday of last week. They brought in these flatbed railroad cars. The train is well over a mile long. Matter of fact, close to 2 miles long. That was the second one. Anyway, sometime a couple of days before, and I went to like 4 or 5 in the morning. It was dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hear the train blowing when it crosses the street that goes into the street where my neighborhood is located.
Okay.
And needless to say, there's probably 100 plus 150 to 200 cars, these flatbed cars. They load them and ship them out. This is the slow-moving stuff. This is the stuff they're going to send by stuff. Now, the stuff they're going to fight with has been gone.
Yeah.
A couple of people that you normally run into, you see the wife, you see the kids or whatever, but you don't see them. That's going on a lot around here. The special forces people, they've been, they've probably been gone two, three weeks before that he ever mentioned, this stuff. But this is par for the course. When Desert Storm and Desert Shield and all that stuff jumped off.
Yeah.
You know, and see, it doesn't matter who it doesn't matter who the president is. It's the generals, you know. Fortunately, for the most part, this will go well if you let the generals do the fighting.
Right.
You know, you can't get involved in a shooting war with a corporal, wink, wink, running the show, telling generals what to do, and every time he tells them what to do, he doesn't even realize that about two-thirds of the stuff that he gets recommended has been filtered into him via the OSS and some other whatever the British used to call there.
Yeah.
But they, it was like psychological warfare to the degree that they actually sent in snipers to kill the snipers that were going to kill Hitler.
The last thing
they wanted. I mean, you know, you got the Desert Fox, you know, these other people out here. You know what they do.
Professor, did you say they sent the snipers to kill the snipers? They're going to do the snipers. Is this John Madden or something? I mean, what the ham sandwich going on?
No.
Trying to figure this out.
During World War II, there were two incidents where there was a move by high-ranking military people in Germany to kill Hitler.
Right.
They got wind of it the last thing they wanted was to fight the generals.
Right.
One set of generals said, well, you know, we'll fight for a stalemate. And then we'll sue for peace. There was another set of generals said, we'll fight to win. And see, quiet as it was kept, Rommel was forced to kill, to commit suicide because Hitler thought he was involved with the people who tried to kill him in his bunker. And see, the Russians are not, the Russians are cut from the same cloth because at the beginning of World War One, they slaughtered probably half the general staff because they were loyal to the Tsar.
That's true,
the kind of stuff we're facing here is. You got a bunch of old white men here in the United States, a bunch of old white men all across Europe, to include Russia. They got too much free time on their hands, too much money, too much time on their hands, and a bunch of toys and a bunch of people to kill off for the
mm-hmm.
dumpster.
You know what?
Mike, that whole, yes. If you remember, that whole thing with, that was part of with that movie, Valkyrie, because that was the private name that was the private
exactly.
name that
I
it was called.
I couldn't remember the name, but yes. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as a matter of fact,
collectively,
one of the few Tom Cruise movies you can watch without cringing. I'll just leave it at that.
Exactly. So collectively, before we move on to sports, what do y'all feel, or how do y'all feel about these motherfuckers cozying up to Putin and what he's doing and having his moves called brilliant, sophisticated, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, you have to give him credit.
How would Reagan feel? That's all I know. How would Reagan do it? How would Reagan feel?
I think you need to be talking. So you talking about Mrs. or Mr. Reagan?
Whoever ran the country.
Mrs. Reagan.
Yeah. Mrs. Reagan.
Yeah. And
don't forget
Nikhil,
the
star of Nikhil.
Whoever.
But Mike, here's what you got to look at. Okay. United States, okay, they say they got 8,700 military personnel in Poland and some other places. All of them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they haven't drawn, they haven't taken all their people out of Germany.
Yeah.
We're there. Okay? Add to that the number of people that they're sending over there. Now, you can believe the number they're quoting if you look, you like. Right. If so, I got some land in Bermuda Triangle. I'll sell you cheap. Because this is what you're dealing with. And when you understand how the military moves. When the military went into Saudi Arabia, you know, everybody's about the comforts of home and all that other stuff, Kush book more and all that kind of stuff. Based on old school, yeah, that's right. But based on war, it ain't all that comfortable out there. You know, and you're talking about the Russians. How are you gonna fight an estimate of between 100,000 and 150,000 armed troops with tanks to works, ready for battle?
Mm-hmm.
How you gonna fight them with 8,700? You know, that's reminiscent of Custer's Last Stand and Alamo.
Oh, shit.
There you go,
baby.
Got
you rough. That's
you're talking about mismatch. But having said all that.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, is that you? Speak up, bro. I'm not picking you up.
The way. But I got the top two, the cover for this commode. You see, that got clean too. No problem. Okay, no problem. Okay.
Well, look, ultimately, it's going to hit us whether we're home or abroad. So let's come back home. You know, this is the last week. This is the last week, so-called Black History Month. Yeah, G, go ahead.
Yeah, by the right now in California. Monday afternoon, about $5.05.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. California has a clean air status. So we have to filter our gas. By the end of this week, it'll be 550.
I can believe that, Gary. It's almost $4 here in New Jersey. And I was at Costco, where you get discounted rates on gas. And the idea of a discount was $3.39. So everything is going up, and it's going up at least a dollar since last year. So wherever you're going to go, you're spending bootleg
gas.
Your
gas in Jersey is ridiculous, bro. I just rode down Sunday, and you know normally we catch a break over in Jersey. That gas is ridiculous. It was only 3 cents cheaper than Philly.
Yeah. If it was, it wasn't there that long because the numbers are going up quick as hell. Gas
spiral
big time before the end of the month. It's already on its way.
Well, you look at the forecast for last year, bro. Look at the forecast of what they project the fuel to be. And they hedged at the gas. They were going to raise the prices during this time. And it's always, I don't want to make this too political. Your show is political, damn it, so free the fuck. But we always have it. We get a Republican president. Gas is cheap as hell for 4 or 8 years. We get a Democratic president, gas is high as hell all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a game. It's a dumbass game.
You're right. Yeah.
I feel I'm in a Truman Show. You know, this Russia thing we talked about. you know, the politics, and no one else is paying attention to what's really going on in the world. And it's kind of annoying.
It is annoying. Because for all the noise they would make on the news cycles, they don't tell you anything. They give the drama, the dramatic music, and all the dun-dun-dun, but nothing editorially worthwhile comes out of their mouth. And that's what makes it even worse. I don't need to see this shit all day long, possibly telling me something. You know, you either know what the hell is going on, you either want to share what the hell is going on, or shut the hell up. You know, it's so annoying to have to live like that. And like I said, I'm going to take it off this political tip. But before I go, I want to get back home and speak to Professor Fred, because, Fred, there were collectively over 30 threats to HBCUs over this month. And I believe almost another 50-plus threats outside those schools, but collectively within the state in the area where you are. What is the latest on anything? Are they catching anybody? Are they trying to catch anybody? You know, sounds like New Jack City. Don't nobody know nothing?
That's probably the better way to put it. Right now, they have, quote-unquote, found some teenagers who are persons of interest. The latest one to reopen the campus was Hampton. They reopened their campus today. You know, to a great degree, it's a non story.
Okay.
It's quickly becoming a non story. In the second full day of the CIAA tournament up in Baltimore, and the worst thing that has come out of here is bad officiating, from what I understand. You think with three of the schools that were threatened last week are participating in that, and for whatever reason, seemingly whoever is orchestrating this has chosen so far to overlook an event of this magnitude. Quite possibly they don't know what the heck they're looking at anyway, but still, you're talking about, you know, and see, this is just Wednesday, and the crowd usually doesn't really pick up heavy until actually tonight.
I'm actually watching. I'm actually watching the game now.
Is anybody on the
chair
working the tournament?
I'm not working.
I'm actually watching the game. Guys, I'm actually watching the game right now. Fayetteville State taking care of Virginia State, 68-52 with about a minute and change to go.
Okay.
And
both of them might lose, but just play it out.
Well, Fayetteville State's the top seed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, we both know, or rather we all know, this time of year, it's about seedings, it's about bubbles, it's about getting in the field and getting paid. And we play games even more now, because it's going to be the only way some of these HBCUs even get a sniff, let alone of big money. And that said, this doesn't just mean basketball. This goes for other sports as well. And I'm asking my man T to come in, deliver a discourse on the state of baseball, because baseball had many opportunities to right itself. Some using HBCUs, some other ways where they're being a bit more creative, trying to gain exposure. And it hasn't worked as well as it should. So, Tony, if you will, the floor is yours.
Well, I've watched, you know, they had the Dawson Classic this weekend down in New Orleans. It's something that, you know, this has been going on for a little while. It's the Urban Invitational, but then they changed it to the Andre Dawson Classic about, I think it's going on the second or third year. And, you know, good ball. I watched, I made the point to watch both games on Saturday. They were both on MLB Network. Jackson State Southern, and then you had FAMU and, why am I forgetting? Oh, FAMU and Alabama State. The thing that struck me was that there are, you know, I have been thinking that really MLB had been doing a lot of lip service in regards to the ACCUs. To a certain extent, they are, but there are other initiatives that are out there. Some of it is buoyed by MLB. Some of it isn't. And I think that's the good part, that while MLB does seem to be trying for whatever it's worth, I always felt like if there was going to be growth, you were going to have some grassroots movements out there. And the other things, you know, you have, you know, there's a Hank Aaron Invitational that's being done now.
Okay.
You have, you know, the RBI thing is still there, and you have different initiatives. The thing is, and I made it a point to watch as much, you know, college baseball the last few days, because they actually started on Friday. And while it's still white dominated, but there are a lot more brothers out there playing than I think even we realize. Now, the only thing is, are they going to take it to the next level? And of course, two, will they be given opportunities? The HBCU game is great. We've seen what Jackson State's done the last couple of years. Also, you know, historically, you know, Bethune-Cookman has always had a solid team. A&T has always been relatively decent as well. So the thing is, said this a bunch of times, it's going to have to hit rock bottom before things start up again. I'm hoping that we don't get to numbers like the early years when Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby played, but it may come to that before there is a surge, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to take a while, because there aren't, you know, the feeder systems that were there before aren't as replenished as they were back in the day, and they're not on life support, but they're not where they should be. Because and again, baseball as an entity has to look at themselves in the mirror too, because they've done a piss poor job of selling the game to the black community.
That was my next question. Are these moves born out of desperation, or are they born out of arrogance, thinking nobody's going to do a better job than us?
You know what? My thing is, as critical of Major League Baseball as I am, when they do something right, I give them their due. Now, they are, you know, they're doing more than lip service, but it still could be more. I've always felt like if you can do this, then you can do this, this, and this.
Right.
One of the big moves you saw, and it happened actually during the teeth of COVID. A former Southern University official, who was part of Major League Baseball's front office, was basically given the job to run this league. I forget the name of it. It's been going on for about a year, year and a half now. And while it's not directly benefiting HBCUs, it does in sort of a backhanded way, because what they're trying to do is and it's a slippery slope, how you see AAU has sort of taken over youth basketball.
Right.
They're trying to do that for baseball. And the thing is, you got to be very, very careful with that, because, you know, we know all the horror stories that we've seen over the years and we still see over the years in regards to AAU basketball. And you've got just as many, the thing is now, you've got just as many club teams that do baseball now, maybe even more so on the lines of on the lines of, you know, like basketball and what have you. But there's still more that has to be done. There's still more that has to be done. As much as it's, as much as the numbers are slowly going up, it's still moving at a snail's pace. It's still moving at a snail's pace. Now now as opposed to the guys who allegedly get paid to play the game, it depends on who you listen to, because I made it a point to watch Hatsov a couple times this week, and on the one hand, they're trying to say that because they're meeting every day, that the gap is getting smaller and smaller. But see, I'll be honest with you. Unless I see them out there, I don't see where there's any progress. You know, I mean, now they themselves have said the, you know, if they don't get an agreement by the 28th, which is Monday, they're going to have to cut into the regular season, which is supposed to start on March 31st. Again, if something doesn't, to me, if something doesn't give by, say, the end of this week or this weekend, you know, I don't think it's going to start on time. I don't think we're going to get a full season this year. If you ask me now, what is 9:47 p.m. Eastern? I think there's no way in hell they're going to do 162 games this year. And the short, and again, I think it just speaks more to the ignorance of baseball, because you're coming off of a season where the World Series TV numbers were less than mediocre.
Right.
You have people long time fans that are just pissed off about the game. They don't like what they see on the field. Now, doing the universal DH, and apparently they're toying with tweaking the playoff system again. But see again, it's not going to mean much until you're up there on the field. Excuse me, because see, pitchers and catchers were supposed to report this past Saturday.
That's right.
And they've already shaved off some of the spring training. Now, you know, again, depending on how you look at it, shaving off numbers for spring training, that may not be the look, because a lot of players say that they don't like to do the grind anyway. The less numbers, you know, they don't really need, say, 25, 30 games to get their, you know, their swing in and what have you. But see, here's the thing. The worst, in retrospect, the worst thing that ever happened was that 60-game sprint 2 years ago. Because the people who were affected by it the most were pitchers. If you remember a year ago at the time when spring training started, whatever, it seemed like everybody's ace missed some of spring training or either missed an early part of the season. And of course, you know, we had that lovely April weather this year as well. So I say all that basically is that, you know, baseball is chasing its own tail again.
No shit.
In regards to popularity, in regards to whether people really care, you know.
Yeah.
Before
I put this in the hands of the panel, I have to ask: are the players totally clueless in this aspect? Do they realize that their product is not as popular as it used to be, or is there more arrogance coming from these folks?
I think they get it. To be honest with you, I think they get it more than the owners do, to be quite honest. But I admit my bias, because whenever there is a labor agreement, I always take the side of labor because I always look at it like the thing I always try to tell folks, do you identify more with a ball player or an owner? You identify more with a Jerry Jones or a Daniel Snyder or a ball player. And I'm not talking agency now, because immediately people will say, well, so-and-so's making excess of X amount of dollars. Of course. But see, here's one of the things that they're fighting. One of the average salary, the minimum salary for the Major League Baseball now is, I think, $550. $550,000, sorry. Not bad.
Minimum wage works for me.
And they wanna try to raise it to 610. But see, here's the thing. What's the one cut, whether it was Charlie Comiskey for the Black Sox, whether it was what Kurt Flood had to deal with, whether it was Charlie Finley, whether it was 94 or 81, the owners have always said, we're losing money. And did I say we're losing money?
Yes, you did.
That's been their mantra for basically over 150 years. And if they were losing that much money, why are they still playing?
For real. Why play at all?
Oh, well, how does the sport survive? If they're losing that much money like they keep playing, then there should be teams disbanding all over the place and everything else. But baseball thrives. I mean, you got teams, Texas just opened up a new stadium. They're already like, who's asking for a new stadium now? Other than teams that need new stadiums, I'm looking at you, Gary. it's like everybody's, for the most part, folks are thriving.
Gary, you got any questions for Tony?
No, Oakland is still playing game with City Council. I'm very disappointed in Oakland right now.
The sad thing is, it's business as usual, Gary. It's just, it's like a Tupperware party with them, it seems like. They'll literally wait till you know how on 24 when the show 24 when things will get solved at 23:58.
That's basically
the A's have to basically say we're out and we ain't never coming back, and they've had that opportunity to do that because it's clear that the Oakland City Council or the Alameda Council or whoever runs that domain, it's clear that. I always try to look at it from their point of view. And see, here's the thing. The Raiders are gone. The Warriors are gone. So in their eyes, they ain't going to leave because they're the only ones left. That's the city council's mind. Now, the A's are saying, you told us to wait. When the Raiders came back and left, you told us to wait when the Warriors got their new thing, and you're telling us to wait now. Basically, the A's need to tell them, you need to kiss the fattest part of my Kelly Green and gold ass and watch us leave.
Well, my thing is, why would you put a stadium? Why would you put a stadium where nobody can get to it?
Well, you know what? The crazy thing is that the reigning world champions of baseball did that 4 or 5 years ago. When they left Fulton County after being there for years, and yes, their fan base was lukewarm, to say the least. even in the good old days,
Eskimo was warmer than their fan base, T.
I mean, put this way, remember that movie Five on the Black Hand Side? I don't even think the Braves got 2.5 in that instance. But
well,
they got a
but see,
think about it. They got a sweetheart deal from Cobb County. They gave them a 30-year lease. That's what I said.
That's free tax, free rent,
parking. I mean, those are serious goodies, and they did it moving from a predominantly black area to a white area.
Hey, Mike, I got a question. Quick question, guys. I know we talked about baseball, but Professor, permission if I could interject a quick question to the professor real quick, if that's possible.
Please do.
Hey, Professor, okay, I know we're talking baseball, but I just want to go back to the Steelers and them hiring the former coach of the Miami Dolphins. Now, number one, it shows that was Gordon, my humble opinion, that the brother that's the coach there is not in fear of his job, Mike Tomlin. Number two, he has no problem with another experienced black man being on the staff that could very well be a next head coach in waiting. I'm not saying it is, but in my humble opinion, is this the ownership now breaking ranks and maybe Daniel Snyder days a number? Because who ever thought a team would hire a person who's suing the league and now he's getting a check? What's your thoughts, Professor?
Let's look at the whole picture here. Okay. For all intents and purposes, under normal circumstances, we would be having, I'll call it an older, darker version of Kaepernick here. Because how dare you sue? How dare you even complain? And, you know, the sad upside to this is here is another spot where the cop kneeling on that young man's head with his neck. This is paying off because at least somebody has noticed, hearken forsooth. Maybe there's something wrong here. You know, maybe there's something in the pocket size Taylor. You know, you don't, and see, the other thing that you said that's lost in all this is you're dealing, okay, remember, when you were dealing with 90% of the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, soccer, all them, you were dealing with a bunch of spoiled-ass, over-the-edge billionaires who had money when they bought the team. Yeah. And as Willie Davis told his group up at University of North Carolina 20-some years ago, he said, if I bought the team, Michael is just an employee, but he's making millions of dollars. So what? I own the team. If I'm paying him millions of dollars, I'm making billions of dollars.
Yep.
And you should have seen the look on some of white folks' face. Oh, really? Hearken forsooth. Here's a rich Negro. And if you've ever seen Willie Davis, he wasn't all that tall, but homeboy was built, shall we say. And he had this voice that could come in, you know, if he said, okay, let's hold the noise down in the room, it got quiet kind of stuff. We're looking at a bunch of spoiled. I mean, think about it.
These are people who, on a good day, would say, "Hey, Donald Trump's my friend."
Mm-hmm.
So if he's a megalomaniac, that tells you what about his friends?
Come on,
you know
that's true.
There's a lot of assholeness around this whole thing. So at the end of the day, so what if they don't play baseball? Do you realize in their mind, and this is how you a couple of my rich friends have schooled me on how to think and prepare preparation for being a millionaire. When you say you play in baseball, you're used to getting say $1 million a game, you know, coming through the gate. Okay. So you cut off for COVID or whatever the reason may be. They just don't show up. And you don't get your meal in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that's about $82 million on the year for home games. 81 games a year for the regular home games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So nobody shows up. You don't get your meal in a day. Okay. Now for you, correction, let me talk about you Popo. For all of y'all, that's a loss.
Yep.
For a billionaire, that's a tax deduction.
That's true.
See, this is why, like one guy said, he says, I'm getting ready to talk to a new accountant who played football at Winston, who had a tax service like 3 miles from my house. And, you know, on a warmer day than it was the day I might even walk over there, but, you know, I ain't gonna do it now. But, you know, he said, when you look at the big picture, you got to look at, okay, what's deductible, what percentage is deductible, and a loss is a loss. So because a loss is a loss, hey, I get to deduct all of that. It affects my bottom line in a negative way to a degree, but then on the other side, because I can deduct it, it ain't costing me nothing.
I feel you on that, Fred, but see, there's something baseball's missing here. Dow, I haven't heard from you yet, so I'm going to ask you this. You know, back in the day, when people talked about pitchers and catchers, everybody got excited. You know, there was a buzz in the air. There was talk about the hot stove league. You know, which player would be the ideal trade, free agent, or whatever acquisition that might make the difference for the team. You hear none of that now. You know, is that baseball's fault because other sports are more popular, or is it their own fault because they just haven't kept up with them?
Shit. How do you? It's baseball's fault. Players are playing other sports now. But it's primarily baseball's fault because baseball has not gotten with the times. They do a horrible job marketing themselves. I mean, the biggest thing, the NFL almost got itself nipped in the bud because the biggest thing during Super Bowl week is the Ben Simmons, James Harden trade. Right? During Super Bowl weekend. Because the NFL couldn't really market Stafford versus, you know, the young guys from LSU up in Cincinnati. Baseball's horrible. Hockey's even worse. And baseball does not reflect, you know, Black America. We kept baseball running for years. They lost this country. Maybe 97, 98, 25 years ago?
94.
Gone.
Yeah, 94.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that year that they went on strike and Montreal should have won the World Series, but all those players were on that team, with Cito Gaston's team. Felipe Alou, my fault, I said Cito Gaston, Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But they've lost it. you know, you've had some moments. But, mm-hmm. you know, when baseball does come back on, who are they forcing down your throats? If you're not a Red Sox or a Yankee fan, you don't care because, it's the matchup, the Yankees and Boston. That doesn't do anything for Middle America. That doesn't do anything. So baseball needs to get with, forgive me for saying this, but they need to get with the mouse to learn how to market themselves. Because what they're doing is atrocious. You turn on the TV this afternoon when my kids come home from school, and Premier Soccer's on in the U.S. live. In the U.S. On a major network. So, you know, the times are changing. Times are really changing. And for these businesses, sports is a business, but for these businesses that don't adjust to the times, you're starting to see them fade.
So,
you know?
Mm-hmm. So, how can this be sports entertainment if nobody's being entertained because they're too bored or they think they'd better off watching something else?
But look at it.
Kids
don't understand baseball itself now, right? So baseball is a true strategy game, right? So you bring your folks. So you bring some young kids from the neighborhood and you treat them for a game. You go to any game. It doesn't matter. They're not entertained. If there's a true pitching matchup and you see both managers strategizing against one another, they don't see that. Everything was instantaneous, man. If I want some rice, I'm not going to cook no rice. Well, I'm going to cook it, but the average person doesn't cook rice the old way, the way that our folks did back in the day. They either have a rice cooker or they got some rice that they can throw in the microwave and be done in 90 seconds.
Yep. And here's the thing. They probably play more baseball on the video games than they actually physically watch the game, and that's part of the disconnect. They can take a certain version of it, but the real version, they want no part of it.
You cannot go to a baseball game as a rule and sit in an air-conditioned building unless you're media. And if you got certain seats, you're sitting in the sun. And you can't have the sun mess with your hair, sweating and all that stuff. Unless it's at night, then you got mosquitoes and bugs to deal with.
Mm-hmm. I can't see my phone.
Well, that's all of that.
And see the
other crazy part to this is you have people out there who, shall we say, are not that outdoorsy type. Can you imagine riding to a game in an air conditioned car, or as they can do where I live? You can catch the bus and go right, three or four buses go right past the stadium, all air conditioned. Then you get out and you have to go sit in the sun in an afternoon game because of the way the stadium is situated. For the first, say, 3 to 5 innings during the summer, You have no shadow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody shining a light in there on you, except in the very middle, unless you're right behind the plate. And I say, I don't know who designed this thing, and I know they had limited space and all this other kind of stuff, but some people say they love it. I don't get it. And see, the only shadow you get now is, because they have these, they made them put up these safety screens, safety nets. I mean, you can see, it's easy to see through, but, you see if you've ever had the ball come in where you are,
you can appreciate that, because even if you have, you know, unless you're that one or two kids in this area who got a glove and they ain't never in the right place, you screwed. But the other thing, Mike, I was going to tell you, you know, since you're bringing up baseball, you probably want to talk to some of those people from, I forget their names, but they're from the Black Nine.
Right.
They're part of a group I'm part of, you know, and they would be good people to talk to.
Yeah.
Not just the professional level, but they actually track the college. I mean, they got all kind of information on the college.
Okay.
Everything from, they actually sponsored the College World Series.
Okay.
The Black College World Series. So that's
now,
something to look forward to.
Well, see, now that brings up another element, and that's promoting. You know, do you find, Tony, that minor league affiliates, AA, AAA affiliates, do a better job of promoting their game than the pros do?
Well, they have to. It's their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can make or break their existence. And see, they didn't see the sad thing is that is one sport where COVID has really kicked their ass, because they literally had to, you know, 2 years ago there was no minor leagues. You know, they're basically, you know, that the year of the 60 game sprint, there were no minor leagues. Now you had some a form of it last year. Now they revamped everything. And you went from about, say, 350 or so teams down to about, say, almost 200 or so, maybe in some instances 175. And see, in some leagues literally disbanded. And what made it even worse, it sort of did baseball, it sort of did MLB dirty work, because one of the main reasons why people hate Martin Luther Manfred is he came in saying, we've got to cut the minor leagues. And basically COVID did his job for him, because it gave them the ability to cut literally almost like, you know, 30-40% of the populace. But see, here's the thing. Those are the guys that are hurt the most. And see, those are guys we all definitely can identify with, because some of them, you know, it's like baseball back in the day where they had to have a job during the off season because they weren't making any money playing quote unquote professional baseball.
The Northern California League and Southern California League.
Yeah.
They merged the two together, right?
They had to.
That's a big mistake because I don't know how you're going to play Northern Cal and Southern Cal. You can't do it. It's too far away.
Well, yeah, but see, they literally and figuratively had to, because if they tried to do two separate leagues, they would have disbanded. Now, granted, the two leagues, you know, there was a reason why, like you said, aesthetically, that it was done. But again, and I know we all hate hearing this, but it's a new, you know, it's the times are different now, and we have to do things differently. And that you know, that doesn't fly for somebody that's been, you know, because see, the minor leagues are all about promotion. You know, there isn't a night where you go to a minor league game and there isn't a Thirsty Thursday or a fireworks night.
Yeah.
Or free or you know, for lack of a better word, free beer and handgun night. For lack of a, you know, there's always something. The bat toss race, the home run inning, or what have you. That's the lifeblood. When I was in Carolina, I worked for like 2 years for the Winston-Salem Warthogs,
of the Southern of the Carolina League. That was like a double A, and that was they were a White Sox affiliate. So, but along the way, I got a chance to see guys like Joe Creedy and Carlos and Carlos Beltran. And who else? I have to sit there. Oh, Carlos Lee, a bunch of guys. And the thing is, every night was something. You know, every night they were like, maybe there was a giveaway, maybe like, you know, something for the kids. And then you know, on Sundays, you know, run the bases night or, you know, after the game, you know, all sorts of players, whatever. But the I say all that basically minor leagues. It's all about promotion. They have to promote better mm-hmm. because that's basically how they make their money. That's how they make their money. I mean, I've already seen like we have like 3-4 teams here in the state of Connecticut. We have there's a team in Hartford, the Hartford Yard Goats. Yes, that's their name. Don't ask. I don't ask me why they named them that. I disown the name, but the baseball's pretty good. They're already promoting. You know, they've been promoting their season for the last couple months because they have to have an idea of we're going to sell X amount of tickets. We're going to get X amount of walk-ups. We're going to do X amount of whatever. I mean, they literally and figuratively, they have to know how much each hot dog costs, how much each bag of chips costs, how much fries are going to cost, how much is this going to cost, and what have you. And see, the thing is, if you're, you know, in many ways, minor league baseball, you know, is sort of the heart blood of baseball now. That and wherever you have, like wherever you live, where there's like, say, American Legion ball or Little League ball or high school ball or what have you, that's baseball at its purest form because there's no pretentiousness, there is no salary cap, there is no launch angle, there is no, you know, it's the game, damn it, for lack of a better word.
But when you say it's a business, and they say it's a game, that's a whole other threat.
Oh yeah, do the players it's a business. It's strictly it
do
is
the players
a,
give
you know,
the
info minor league,
that they want to get this thing sold and carry on with the season, or is management throwing them a screwball?
Here's the thing. I'll just, you know what? I don't know if this answers the question, but in both of the last two quote-unquote work stoppages, the owners locked out the players. I'll just leave it at that. They locked them out in December. Like I said, the last two quote-unquote work stoppages, the players were locked out. So, again, now look, I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are players that could care less about what the fans think or what have you. That being said, I still think that they care about the game. I truly do think they still care about the game. Look, the owners are still, in a sense, trying to play catch-up from COVID because when they saw that the NFL was coming back, when they saw that the NBA was coming back, when they saw that the NHL was coming back, they basically said, oh, the hell with this, we're coming back too. And that's basically what that 60-game sprint was 2 years ago, was them basically being defiant and the baseball gods sort of beating them because if you remember those first few weeks we basically did a COVID team of the week for the entire season. and in many ways they're still feeling the repercussions of it. And see, the fact that they would have the unmitigated gall to just say we're gonna shut it down, and then literally want folks and then wonder why people tell them to you know go to hell.
Right.
Well, baseball, see, to me, as an African-American, I got turned off after 1980, 89.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I got the opportunity to have black managers, and they refused to do it, I said, okay, I'm done. I'm not
going to
go crazy over anymore.
Well, no, and then whatever few fans they had left walked after 94. Because, see, again, I still don't, you know, they still won't come to grips with the fact that they lost a generation of fans, old and young, in 94. When they basically said, you're not getting a World Series this year, I think a lot of people just said, here's my French. Fuck them. And it's basically they've been playing catch up ever since then.
Well, gentlemen, see, one thing you'll still got to remember, and that's this: at a certain point in time, there's this kind of white person who will say, "We really don't want Negroes. We really don't want Negro money. We don't want Negroes nor their money. We got money." And because that attitude exists, that's why they'll also say, well, you know, we would hire black quarterbacks, but, you know, black folks can't run nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like we didn't run Africa before they showed up. But, you know, that's another...
Exactly.
You know, that's another subject for another night. But just, you know, just keep in mind that you got this alien mindset that's really not all that alien, because it's pervasive. And it's almost like if you can't get into the club, well, you know, if you're black, you're not getting the good old boys club, no way.
You ain't getting it anyway.
No.
That's right.
No,
and
exactly.
You see, and because of that, because they have never written the rules down, they just, you know, shake your hand, pinch your wrist, or whatever.
It's what's said here, what's done here, stays here, and the guys that break that code, they are ostracized. To see, for as bad and whatever as Mars shots was. What got my shot tossed to the side, and this may sound sexist or what have you, but she didn't get their mouth shut.
That's right.
Because
have you seen
the number one rule of the Million Dollar Boys and Girls Club, excuse me, what's said here, what's done here, stays here.
That's right.
Remember, okay,
Well, see, that's how they had the Commonwealth Club here in Virginia, and Doug Wilder tried to have the Washington football team bring a stadium under Jack Ken Cook, making his own money. They said, we're going to do everything we can to make sure this Negro don't get credit.
I'll go see what they're going to do with this guy who wants to buy Byron, he wants to buy Denver Broncos. I want to see what I'm going to deal with this.
You know what? Let me see him buy him first. Because, see, we have, you know, again, I'm going to use the Eddie Murphy analogy. I mean, I'm falling for the banana in the tailpipe again. Because we have had a bunch of people. This guy's going to buy this team. This guy's going to buy this team. This guy's going to buy this team. Give me a – till I get a bill of sale, it's a bag of shit.
Yep.
A bag of shit. Plain and simple.
The Russians just crossed the border. Just crossed the border an hour ago.
Oh, they're going to Taco Bell?
Yeah,
okay, Mike, can I just add one thing? You guys, Reggie was talking about the whole thing with the seal. There was a story that moved, and also you can catch it on. It's on our sports page. It's on our Facebook page.
Hello.
Why am I forgetting my man's name? Brian, the new they tried to have him sign a non-disclosure thing for his firing, and he said no. So see, again, this just adds even more fuel, because the thing is, if you've got nothing to hide, why are you basically trying to have him sign a non-disclosure?
Yep.
Well, this all can be capitalized in our next category, which I call "Please Don't Hurt the White Guy." In a basketball game against the University of Michigan and Wisconsin, there were smatterings of assholery about.
Doesn't that sound like something the latest war movie coming to a theater near you? A smattering of assholery.
So anyway, the game is pretty much settled, and Coach Juwan Howard, all 6'9" in, is beefing with some guy. He's not as tall. He's definitely not as black. And while this wasn't the second coming of Kermit Washington versus Rudy Tomjanovich,
we
got Huffy and Juwan Howard trying to do a Wolverine bitch slap on the assistant coach. Now, as Chris Rock used to say, you know, I see this shit, but I understand. And I think this is one of these I understand moments. But you would think from what they said on the tape that World War III had ensued on that basketball court. Oh, he must be getting rid of. Get this guy out of here. Blah, blah, blah. All the bullshit. It's like, are you kidding? It's a game. A game with a fucked up ending, but it's still a game. And now how will pay a price, we know. Now, whether he's tossed from the league for good or anything like that, I doubt that.
No,
but they definitely will cool him and send him on ice to the rest of the regular season. Now,
Gary, I hate to interrupt you, man, but breaking news, they said Pentagon officials say that Russian invasion has started in Ukraine.
He just said that about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
They're crossing the border to Taco Bell.
Yeah, really. So all I got to say is that if they want to go ahead and start economic wealth, start a war, we're going to see the stock market ching, 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 ching now.
I don't
think the stock market ain't going up.
Let me go. Please wait. I'm gonna go fill my tank up. I'm gonna go fill my car up with gas and pray that I can get through.
that's real talk, man. For real.
You gotta eat some beans to get you going, because that's not gonna help you with the gas.
Well, if they please wait, at least if they start coming over here and wanna and want to bomb Koskov, I know where the hell not to go.
This is not going to turn out well because the Germans are coming against by the big deal.
Well, Gary, well, I guarantee you there's probably no more uncomfortable situation than countries, companies trying to make money during a wartime situation. Now, Reggie's right. War is good business. But how you have to work yourself.
Actually, war is great business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And such a way through yeah. the bullshit.
You know, okay.
Nobody's talking about this too much. But think about the last 28 to 30 months. Wouldn't you like to know what the portfolio of not just, I know they've been talking about Nancy Pelosi and all this stuff, but what about all these other people in Congress, i.e. the House, the Senate, and people who work with them? Wouldn't you just love to see what their stock portfolio looks like over the last 24 months?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm quite sure and certain that at some point in time, somebody from those various offices had a hearken for a suit moment and said, well, why don't we go buy some Pfizer stock? Let's do some J&J stock. Let's find out who makes masks. Let's find out who makes whatever. And I bet you, all of them people, and I know Nancy was swearing that her husband made all his decisions on his own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you're doing this whole litany of things, and you start finding out that Harkin Forsooth, they all been going in that direction.
Friend,
is Democrats, Republicans, and Independents.
Oh, sure.
So they can get together on something.
There's probably a greater capacity for insider trading within the walls of Congress. Than to be on any stock market floor.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere, Martha Stewart's saying that motherfucker.
Yeah. For real.
But not to let this linger in the air, as Reggie said, it's already started. The countries involved know what they're going to do. Now it's about who jumps in.
Right? Very, 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 very likely quite a few of these countries that we're talking about is going to do what they've been doing for the last ever how long it's been. Because remember, the Russians went in to that country what, 2 years ago?
Yep.
No, it was 2014
when they first came in. The annex Crimea.
2014. Okay. So the Russians have been there for what, almost eight years.
Easy.
So what are they going to do? They ain't done nothing yet. So, you know, I hear all this. Well, the president has already said he ain't going to do nothing.
What a surprise.
Well, I mean,
don't be surprised.
What else does he have to tell us? He said, we are going to put boots on the ground. Okay? Now.
Yeah, our boots on their ground.
The Russians weren't going to put boots on the ground either. But see, now, from where I live, about an hour or so ago, I could actually hear artillery impact in the impact zone. They're shooting from like 30-some miles away. And
the impact area, there's this town called Rayford, North Carolina, which is 20 miles from Fayetteville. Once you get to the backside of Fort Bragg, you are down there. And then go about another 12, 15 miles out in the woods, and then they shoot back into this impact area. Well, because of that, it's nothing to wake up in the middle of the night or early morning and hear boom, boom, boom. And sometimes when it's real quiet, it sounds like it's coming through. It sounds like they're hitting real close. Although it's always hitting in that same spot, pretty much. But, you know, and they have been doing live fire. You know, I think the helicopter must be refueling about now because they were flying about 30 minutes ago.
But see, also, what's happening also is this is why they're upset. The Black Sea, we had to have access to the Black Sea. And they cut this off, we can't get the United States Navy or Air Force can get anywhere near the Black Sea. Never. They won't tell you that.
You know, Gary, but it's not lost on me how hypocritical these motherfuckers can be. Black people go and fight, and they die. The ones that don't die,
instead
of coming home and hearing thank you, they beat them up and shit on them.
Yeah.
Black people go and fight. Black soldiers die. The ones that come home, they don't get the discount on the home or the other benefits that white soldiers were given. And, you know, God forget it, anything else. Once you're back here, because you're not Sergeant this, you're a nigger again. Then, of course, there's Vietnam. Even when everybody knew that everyone was riding dirty with Vietnam, black soldiers went and died. The ones that came back, they were messed up mentally, or they had already go. And by the time they got it together, it was too late. But some never really got it together. And now, black soldiers, again, are going to go fight. And the ones that come back alive, they're malaffected because they already know. This is not naive. This is not for the country guarding the Constitution. They already know. They're going to be fucked when they come home. No one's going to say thank you. No one's going to offer them breaks on getting home. No one's going to offer them anything other than get your black ass out the way while I'm walking down this street. That has got to be universally frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. It's and you know, I said, all of us are had folks near and dear to us serve.
Yep.
And you know, I know the one thing my dad said to me that was always found interesting. He said, if he knew then what he knew now, he might not have served. Or he would have thought about it a little bit. Absolutely.
My dad said the same thing. If he had known what he was going to go through, he never would have gone to the Marine Corps.
Yep. But you know what, G? I saw Pop. I'm at the house. We're eating dinner. He's talking to me. You can see what that conflict did to him. You can see what the time there had done to him. It was.
Yeah. I wonder, what is it? What is it that really, really rocked this world? And this is it. What is it? 1965. He ran for city council of emergency in 65.
Uh-huh.
He lost the vote by 3 votes. He lost. That changed his world.
Can you blame him?
Oh,
like
no.
Say, it was a different... I'm sorry about that. It's a testament to his strength that he survived.
Yo, you alright, fam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm alright. Coughing up hairballs.
Yeah.
But it's stuff like that that we have to always be mindful of. You know, the generation before, the old heads that are still here, they know. They don't have to say nothing to us. If nothing else, make sure they're all right. You know, because there's not much else you can do that this society hasn't already done to them. Now, I know we jumped from subject to subject here, but if it's going to be about war, and it seems like it is, what's more important, hearing some supposedly breaking news or more nonsense to make you think, oh, yeah, Trump was brilliant for doing what he's doing and praising Putin? Are you fucking kidding me? I got Patrick Farrar in the house. Patrick, are you there?
Live and living colors, fellas. What's up?
What's up, man? Help you being safe out there, man. Be safe, Patrick. Be safe.
Yeah, watching everybody's cousins to make sure they're all right, you know.
Michael, this is the thing. When you go to war,
yep.
the issue of that little white girl in China,
yeah.
You're allowed to escape. They refuse to deal with that issue. You can't keep doing it all the time.
Yep. Hey, but Patrick, real quick, man, I'm on Juwan Howard's side. I mean, I know we're talking about the war, but Juwan Howard should have bitch slapped that ass because the man already didn't want to walk, didn't want to shake the coach's hand. Okay, you call the timeout, I'm pressing. I think they need to get away with the shaking of the hands in the line because Bobby Knight and others did 10 times worse, but yet Juwan said, yo, man, I don't feel like shaking your hand. And then this European going to say, no, look, me boy, you're going to shake my hand, and I'm going to talk to you. So what's the real deal, Patrick?
Well, I was watching, I was talking to Mike Smith, and I was actually watching the going back and forth between the Wichita State-Houston game and the game against Michigan against Wisconsin. I was going back and forth. And obviously, the Wisconsin had gotten ahead by about 15 points. And with 15 seconds left, I turned back to the Houston Wichita State game, so I missed the play. But as it was, there was something brewing all the way during that game. I sensed that. I mean, the crowd was hyped because it was Michael Finley, who was one of the great players in that school. It was his day, and they were hyped up, you know. And when it comes to Juwan, you know, I can understand his perspective, but the point was, with 15 seconds left, don't give me this nonsense. Well, I had to straighten out with the last 2 seconds. Man, give me a break. You could have took that penalty. And the game would have been over. It was just that I've seen it too many times. First of all, the guys that they had in were backup guys, or he wouldn't have streamed out the play. How can you stream out the play with like 6 seconds left? Like that was going to do something. So, you know, Juwan got pissed off. My issue is this. I understand the suspension. I understand what they're going to do for 9 yards. But what was really that eye-opening, but quite obvious to me, was the vitriol we got from people. As I read across the country, I'm going, one guy called him a thug. I said, thug? What are you talking about? What's a real thug? Well, because of the fact that he didn't say yes or no. I'm sorry. All of a sudden, these are thugs. I mean, and they want to it's
amazing. It's amazing we have black athletes and black coaches on a high level and politicians. See the trade of 45. Unreal.
Patrick, three words. Fab Five flashbacks.
That's what's going on. That's all it was. You know, five brothers who defied what they think they ought to be, and
changed everything.
Who they were. And all of them made money.
And don't forget the amount of money Michigan made off of them young freshmen. Don't forget that.
Remember the vitriol when he was hired.
But Michigan knew what they were doing. I know one thing, they raised enough money to pay him. You know, and I had one guy one time. Let me tell you something. Howard, that man's a multimillionaire. He don't need that job. He
can
go because he loves
back to the
school. And from what I do know about him, what he did with that first big contract when he got $90 million, Lord have mercy. He don't need Michigan. Michigan needs him.
Yeah, him.
That's the bottom line.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, look at John Beilein. He left Michigan. It was in disgrace with Cleveland. But he ain't coaching no more. Come on,
yeah. Yeah, because he couldn't. What he tried to pull in the pros wasn't gonna work. You know,
ran his ass out on the rail.
he had a place make more than you, and you're gonna talk about what? Man, sit your butt down someplace.
I hear that shit.
Yeah, but it was a way for people who like you said, Tony, it was a flashback for people who wanted to get back him because we had the flashback of the Fab Five, because them brothers defined how basketball was for a long time.
How dare you have black socks and long pants? How dare you?
Who
look so menacing.
It's who controls the narrative? Who controls the narrative? Who controls the image? They didn't give a damn about no image.
Yeah. But, well, you know, it's about me, Patrick, if you got these so-called black commentators, especially the young man from Duke that's on with ESPN, talking about he should be fired. He should be fired. I'm like, y'all say nothing about the white boys like that. It's amazing how much vitriol goes at the black coaches with what these Europeans did. Isn't it amazing?
Then they were bringing back the suitcase
Eddie Sutton, FedEx package just got to L.A. with 20 G in it. It's been serving the last 20 years.
Eddie's words, it's still a little light.
Yeah, everybody took a 10 spot after it was going through customs.
It shows the kind of vitriol behind some brothers. And I tell you, like you said, as much money them brothers made that school, get out of my face.
And then don't go for the gamblers there. Oh my gosh, all the money gamblers make. State of Michigan.
Hey, that's no joke. That's no joke because the NCAAs are the second big pool. Their pots go crazy. The Super Bowl pool was one thing. The NCAAs is a whole other story.
A whole lot more money that they don't see.
And
guess what? This year,
can you say March Madness?
They're gonna break the bank this year, and the reason why is because there is no definitive team that dominates what the tournament's gonna be like. It could be anybody. It could be like 10 teams.
What do we have? Like 68 number one teams this year, Patrick?
67.
What day of the week is it? And Lord, let Duke get in the Final Four with Mike Shesky leaving. Oh my God!
Don't say it.
If they get the easy road to the Final Four, I'm done. I am done.
If we get another M. Night Shyamalan special feature going on this year, man. Please. I mean, they can't. They can barely hang in the ACC, and you're gonna try to bring their asses to the Final Four. Look, that
I guarantee you, they won't get a bid, and it's gonna be on the East Coast.
Put it this way: is there a regional being played in New Jersey this year?
Yeah, it could be. No, not this year. That was last year.
This year? Okay, yeah. well, what about, is Carolina hosting a regional this year?
Oh, yeah. Wherever it's at East Coast.
Hell yeah.
Wherever it's at East Coast, Duke will be there.
They're going to put this way. Their first round, they'll probably have them play the Washington Generals the first round. They'll probably have them play the Knicks in the second round.
Yeah, you know, Jersey State the third round.
And what's the matter? You and the Elite Eight? You know.
Please. Just
for your information. Over the weekend, there was this test run of the preliminary brackets, and whatever that crap is called. Bracketology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. Duke was picked number 8 in the nation,
Good
number
Lord.
2 in the West region.
Good Lord.
Here's something to think about, guys. the prices of next to the last game, not the last game, next to the last game in Cameron Arena, we're going $5,000-$7,000 per seat. What you think? And the last game of the year is going against North Carolina. Already, it's $8,000 to $10,000 up to $20,000 per seat to see Coach K in the last game. Okay, at that point, he's going right now. They're going to find a way to find some way where he can be in North Carolina or some other area where they know they get maximize the money off his leaving and the money that they're going to give for Duke to play. And the tickets for that game is going to go astronomical.
And of course, the real question for that last game is Mrs. Hubert Davis going to be able to go see the game for her?
I think he and his wife might will attend. But guys, I can tell you the most evident effect of how much gambling is affecting this whole tournament. I had to drive to my bank from where I live. Now, it's about a 10-15 minute drive. But you know what? With the exception of one little section in between, every pothole, every smudge was covered. It's going to be like that. It's going to be like that. No more potholes. Kids get free lunch at school.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
They get free dinners, too.
That's right. Lunch,
brother,
dinner,
please.
And fucking dessert.
Mm-hmm. Red Button died too soon. He could have got himself a dinner by now.
Man, please. It's coming. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the bracketology is setting itself up.
Oh, that is so. The fact that God forgive me, I was there last year when he started doing that mess. It's so fucking. It's as phony as an $8 bill.
Yeah,
Tony, it's got me wondering. Now we know how when the draft comes up, Mel Kiper's got people sucking his dick and making arrangements to say something about somebody's player.
Yeah.
What is it going to be like if somebody at, say, Baylor or some school sitting on a bubble calls in and say, hey, can you hype up our guys, blah, 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 blah.
Of course.
course. Of Can we get out the bubble?
Of course.
It's already done.
Here's the thing. He used to be like an analyst for St. Joe's basketball out of Philly.
Yeah.
And he came up with a gimmick. He basically came up with a gimmick, and now everybody. Now you got bracketology for the. You've even got a guy for the women,
Yep.
Now too.
Mm-hmm.
You did. Like, hell. Oh, yes. By the way,
don't forget that nerd from the elections.
Oh,
that's right.
God, yeah.
The one with the khaki pants.
Yes.
Cornacki, that fool.
Yeah. And Mike, I forgot to mention that the state is in half mourning down here because Paige Becker is not going to be able to play the rest of the season. So
okay.
So there's like half red lines at Walmart now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But Tony, I will say this: the Big East is going to be rocking. I'm telling you.
I'm trying to find a way to. I'm trying to get the band back together and see if I can get back to the garden.
And you know why don't you? I'm gonna tell you.
Okay, John Belushi.
Last night proved it. You know, crazy ass Danny, what he did last night. Pumped up the crowd, got a tech, and them folks went crazy.
Yeah.
And that's all he can do.
That's all he can really do. But then you can get away with that for so long. But you can only get away with that for so long, though, you know?
Hey, he's going to bring it up to the garden. Folks can't wait.
Oh yeah.
Hey Patrick,
you don't have the 8-9 game where you could go get the tickets from the Seton Hall folks or get the tickets from the UConn folks.
Yeah.
Hey Patrick,
what's your thoughts on Georgetown, man? Because I got a feeling my man might be out the door.
No, I ain't going nowhere.
He ain't won a game this year.
Because two of his big guys got hurt. There were about three guys who left.
One to Maryland. How'd that work out?
He got recruits coming in. I ain't worried about Georgetown.
That's good to know.
You think he's coming back next year?
Yeah.
Patrick,
so they would give him another year?
Let me tell you something. His name is Patrick Ewing. And if the AD fires him, he better bring in Mike Krzyzewski to take his place.
His royalty.
I'm telling
you. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm glad Patrick royalty. He needs to have immunity because of what he did, essentially putting the school on the map and making the school a lot of money. But let me ask you this. You knew what happened in the fight because it made me think the obvious. What the hell ever happened to Kermit Washington?
We interviewed him
back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember, Mike, back in the day on our show? You guys interviewed him, remember?
Yeah, right.
Back in the day.
That's
he
great.
Lives out in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
he's chilling. Right. He's doing okay. But he does a lot of work in Africa for the young folks out there. He's still working in Africa, but he does not like to talk about that situation. He doesn't even bring it up.
No.
He doesn't even talk about it.
He is literally anonymous. Down in Africa, they don't know. I mean, they just know of him as somebody who has just been such a great contributor, and he doesn't allow them to know about his past as an NBA player because shame what wound up happening. Mm. Look, we all know that it almost killed Rudy T. But what was even crazier is how they literally made an example out of Kermit Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They damn sure did.
But speaking of that, guys, have you guys talked about the top 75 plays?
No, sir.
At an NBA?
I was going to ask you, it was the third person I was asking, I was talking shit about Michael Jordan.
I'm going to last night I saw a production, it was well-produced, show by the NBA. They took about 12 people. They took all the inside people from the It was well produced.
Patrick, I'm glad Earl the Pearl Monroe name was on there. I said we need more CIAAs and HBCUs, but at least I did see Earl the Pearl Monroe. I don't even know, I don't think Bobby Dandridge's name was on there, was it?
Bobby Dandridge, and no one else wasn't on there? Cal Murphy.
Bernard. Bernard. Or
what
Bernard
about Adrian
King.
Dantley? I was about Adrian Dantley going on there. Hey, Artis Gilmore, the A-Train. Do you think Artis Gilmore is in the top 75 or he was just ABA player?
Oh, hell yeah. He was in the top 50 with the last one.
Yeah. No, he's not on the list.
He should be. He should be on the list.
Should be. Put it this way.
Yeah, Artis Gilmore's not on the list.
With all due respect, I'd rather see him on there than Anthony frickin' Davis.
Man, are you talking about the unibrow?
His eyes get
more playing time than his body.
He's a great, you know what? He's a great player. But one top 75 of all time? Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
A prisoner of the moment.
That's what it is.
There's too many people out there. There are too many of these people, these modern people I've never seen, I've only heard of, and wouldn't know which way was up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
100%, Fred. 100%.
100%.
Absolutely. You know, people talk about great
shooting. Hey, Patrick, we tell them John B. McClendon, and they say, who's that? And I walk away. I said, I'm done.
You might as well. They will know.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell what gets me. I did the Rutgers game last time I talked with you. I was talking to this guy about shooters, and this guy was talking to me about, I said, Bird's a great shooter. But there was a guy named Jerry West. Y'all don't know. Y'all do not
know. He don't know the logo?
If you don't know who the damn logo is, then you need to be pinch left.
You're out here reporting on a national game? And you what?
He probably got a vote for the Hall of Fame too. He probably got a vote.
I give Pete Maravich credit. Pete was a monster, but let's keep in mind, as good as Pete was, I know when he came to Garden in 1969 and played against Marquette, he got 21 points.
Remember to lock his ass up.
Remember to lock him up, big time. Him and Jim Jones, Marquette.
And don't forget Evers Pearson, the big tall center, the light-skinned brother of the center, Evers Pearson. He was wearing them out, and he designed the basketball uniforms for Marquette. That was brother under late Al McGuire.
I love Al McGuire. Mark
McGuire.
I give Pete credit. He can play, but Pete wasn't playing against the brother. He did well in the pros because it's an open game, and he didn't make the calls.
Here's the thing. They took some people who were on the 50 off. How you gonna be the best player of all time 1 year and then 25 years later when he hasn't played? Oh, he ain't that good anymore. What?
Yeah.
To put us,
they
would
don't
put us in
know
place.
What they're talking about.
And they haven't been rooting for their buddy.
As much as I like Dwayne Wade, I take Cal Murphy personally.
I agree.
He's too short.
See, again, it's all time. Now, if you want to talk about the era, fine. But if you're talking all
time,
there's only
not
a handful.
All the time.
All the time.
You know what got me, guy, was that how long it took them to somebody pick Bill Russell when they were doing the draft picks. I was like, what the ham sandwich you guys thinking about?
And then a certain player
from the Hawks picked himself. I'm like, really, dude? I mean, you're arrogant, but really, dude? And Charles Barkley said, I told you he was going to do it. And D.L. Hughley was so smooth with his picks.
D.L. was crazy.
I think D.L. had been smoking a couple of blunts before he got out there.
Like
he was too laid back and smooth with his pick.
Reds, like he'd be the only one out there.
You know that. Either it was some Hennessy or Jack Daniels or hit nine.
Yeah, really.
I'm sure the liquor was being passed. Sue Bird looked like she was buzzing a little bit. Even Sue Bird looked like she was buzzing.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Super cool.
Kids.
She's cool. She's good people.
She's very good people.
She is very much so. She's not caught up in herself at all.
No. That's why she's endured for so long because she never got full of herself. I ran into her a couple of times when I was working at the mouse. Good folks. And
quite frankly, for a white woman, I should say it like this, but it's true, for a white woman, she had an incredible and impeccable skin.
She took care of herself.
White women,
European, she looked good for a European woman.
Them wrinkles come in about 25, but her skin on. What?
Yeah.
She's not
a stepper wife. That's for damn sure.
No lie. And she plays on how she really can look.
But I tell you what, I was so happy to see Dennis Rodman and Allen Iverson there at the 7th-5th, and they truly were received, especially Dennis. And we knew Bubba Chuck, and like the late ancestor Kobe Bryant said, you better be glad Bubba Chuck ain't 6'7" and 6'8". He would be the logo of the NBA.
He would.
Oh,
yeah.
Talking about somebody pound for pound, man. Bubba Chuck. Woo! Mm-hmm. Look, he was so nasty on the high school football field that he was knocking people out in high school, and they was like, get him out of here, man.
I always hope that when you have these milestone years that it inspires folks that don't know as much about the NBA, where they really just, I'm going to see again, there's more access. You could go to YouTube, put in Adrian Dantley. You could go to YouTube and put in Bobby Dandridge. You can go to YouTube and put in about Don McClendon. There is absolutely no excuse.
Or David Thompson. You don't know how to hear David Thompson.
How about guys like Billy Wise, who was a fantastic player, and nobody knew who he was until it came close to the merger.
Mike, guess what? I had a gentleman who said there's no such thing as being able to jump over somebody's head.
How old was he, Professor? He was a long-term millennial,
but he had his idea of how much he knew about basketball and black players.
I said,
so you never heard of David Thompson get his foot hung on the guy's shoulder? He says, no.
The guy's Spence, the name was Spencer.
How can he do that?
Tell that fool to go to Google and do Vince Carter versus Frederick White.
This same guy related to the radio announcer didn't know about a certain coach in Grambling that everybody had to square his ass away down in Tampa Bay?
he didn't know that there was a time you couldn't dump either. Because when I was trying to explain why Kareem Jabbar/Lew Alcindor was far greater than Michael Jordan. I said, Michael was a so-so player in high school who didn't blossom until the state playoffs. College, his coach held him down for two or three years. And he got to the pros. He was nothing until two NAIA players showed up. What's the NAIA? I said, so you not heard of kicking? You haven't heard of? But then he didn't know about Skull. He didn't know about so many people that you would have thought he knew about.
Hey, Hey, but, tell that man know, go get some Similac off his breath. He still got Similac on his breath.
Unfortunately, Fred, if ESPN ain't talking about him, they'll know what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That sounds like
the name for 1970, buddy.
That sounds like one of those guys that thinks that Fred McGriff broke the color line in baseball, I guess.
Hey, you're not saying about hockey, man. They really messed them up in hockey.
But Patrick, as we all know, it was actually Don Clendenin that broke the color line.
And matter of fact, you know, Tony brought up something. I was talking to one of my engineers about the Howard thing this year. I said, ain't it amazing that a little scrum between a coach and a line causes this much fervor, and hockey players almost kill each other on the ice, and nobody's
on a pro level.
I'll go back to something I said at the beginning of the show. There was more fervor in regards to Juwan Howard than 45 basically saying than 45 basically doing the cabbage patch for Putin.
Yep.
That's true. Glad to see everybody's priorities are in order here.
Long as you're European, buddy, you're white. I might be wrong, but I'm white, buddy. Don't you forget it. Hot damn. God bless America. Hot damn.
Mike, before I get out of here, I want to throw this in, maybe you talked about it earlier this evening. I took a deep breath and took a step back. And I talked to my boy, who's is a former judge and law professor. I said, Ray, what is wrong with Loretta Lynch? What is wrong with her? How is she going to be attorney general, the first black woman attorney general, and you going to defend the NFL?
Yep. Sad.
His response was, in fact, a check is a check.
Yeah, that's the problem. We don't see this act before.
Score one for Ted DiBiase. Every man and woman.
Can you say the cash cow money?
Well, see, the real thing
but
is
where
here.
You at, Gary?
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, wait a minute. NFL won't hire black men, but they'll hire a black woman, I guess.
Yeah. To defend them.
They have a way of making that point now, don't they? It doesn't make anybody.
And I thought Clarence Thomas was still alive. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unreal.
Pay attention to me, son. You're not looking at me, boy.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, Miss Lady, I do respect. You think you're going to win this case?
Yeah, well, like I said, she must be broke or desperate for attention.
Pay attention, boy. I'm cutting, but you ain't bleeding.
That's right.
Hey, Patrick, are you doing pin me marking? You want to see the books? There the books. There they are. Okay, you've seen the books. There they are. You've seen the law. There's the law. There it is. Now that's it.
You want to see the books, huh?
Well, they can't left with the IRS. And that's what I'm waiting for. I see this redheaded motherfucker get his due. Because Uncle Sam going to get his.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
There are more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. And the trick about it, guys, to try to, it's like I took my man, I said, Ray, it's intriguing. Because and he said, he pointed out something, he said, Patrick, he said, look here.
Yep.
As much as she wants, she has her expertise in the profession. But all it takes, he said what I was thinking. In the back of people's mind, the fact that 2 weeks ago, Dan Snyder didn't release his information because he can hold information back because the NFL told him not to release it. There's another guy that says right now who don't give a damn. Watch out for your boy mine, John Gruden. If he leaks
oh,
out,
yeah,
it's
he let
really
it fly.
He
needs a little burnout. If I go down, everybody going down.
There you go, Rich. There you go, Rich.
Here's way. I don't want to say anything, but John. Here's way. All of a sudden, John Gruden changed his name to Nino Brown, and now he's got a. And now is his cousin.
Is,
right. If Akeem Akbar gets winds up getting hired as a head coach, don't wonder
that's
why.
Right. When they trap him in the court, he gonna say, "Don't let y'all know nothing."
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. Who getting stabbed in the hand? That's what I want to know. Who getting stabbed in the
That's
hand?
That's what I'm talking about. That's right.
Pretty motherfucker. I never liked him anyway.
He said, "Oh."
Well,
I'm
so jealous of you guys. I had too much fun. I'm so jealous.
Well, let's have some more fun. Reggie, give us some wisdom as we get the final thoughts here. Come on, Reg.
You know, a year ago, you had a DA try to cover up a crime. And all the crime was this young man was running down the street jogging, and these three white supremacist thugs are now in prison. You fast forward, a young FedEx worker is going through the same thing. Then, oh, by the way, a cop that yells, "Taser, taser!" Oh, shit, I shot at a nigga. And she only got 2 years.
Yeah.
Am I missing something, gentlemen? Maybe it's me, but the quote that left
the
professor D.L. Hughley, it seemed like justice is blind, but it seemed like that woman takes that blinds off and take a peek. And when they see black and brown, guess what? Your ass gone.
Like the one white guy in an all black jazz band, she be peeking.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a young brother in a mall defend another person, and the cops come and slam him to the ground, and the instigator, white boy, sits on the side.
I don't miss talking no more, Reggie. I was kind of surprised. I was wondering what was going to happen. They've been very mum on keeping hush hush on what's coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got a good lawyer? Anybody got a good lawyer?
Reg, I think Miss Lynch will be. I think Miss Lynch will be available after another few weeks.
Man,
oh shit!
You know it. And tell Tom Brady have Nino Brown play him in his new movie. He gonna sign the movie as himself and go produce the movie. That's gangster.
Tom Brady's working on his contract right now. He's working on his contract with Jay Jones. Jay Jones gonna pay him $75 million for one season.
Oh Lord! And that still won't help his ass.
How about that? How about
that? And they still keep blocked.
Yep. That'll be the biggest investment for an 8-9 team that I've ever seen.
I don't think they'll be that good.
Nope, but like I said, they'll make more money in a little bit. They don't care about all that. Pay that cash. That's what they want. Professor, front and center, sir.
Well, I don't know who's winning other than I know Winston-Salem State's women lost today to Lincoln University. For those who don't know, the young man that one of the star players, Darryl, was a star player there about 6 or 7 years ago, and he took over the women's program after they went through like 2 or 3 coaches. He was in his early 20s when he took over. But the team that's there now, he actually put together, and then last summer he got hired away to actually be an assistant on the men's program. I want to say in the CAA. Anyway, you know, big ups to Darryl. He did a great job, and he left a loaded gun, and Lincoln went from being almost at the bottom for the last since they joined the CIAA to being the number one seed in the tournament this year. So far, so good. Also, while we're on craziness. This whole thing with these bomb threats and so forth, that's a distraction for something else or other things, because you can't do away with black schools other than just don't fund them. And that's mm-hmm. we've seen that they've proven to be resilient beyond measure, and just keep it going. I'm doing my part. You all do your part, and we all do our part, and it'll all work out long run. You can keep track of me and other things at www.blackheritagereview.com. You can buy. We have plenty of sports books, and I'm on page 200 and something other on putting pictures in the book on men's basketball. I'm working from home. I am working from home. I've only had two questions, real, and mostly about women's history of women's basketball. So, but you know, I'm gonna stay home, stay safe, get this done. Because I didn't realize a few weeks ago I actually got exposed to COVID. I thought I had a cold, and it was going to be a little worse than a cold, but I didn't feel it that way. So, I'm good.
Brett, they put a piece, I don't know if you saw it, CBS did a nice piece on HBCU schools last week. It was hosted by Earl Monroe. I mean, much of it I didn't know, except for the lady Elena, she was at Cheney. She was an All-American. I didn't know about her. She's a lawyer.
Remember Cheney won, played for the national championship.
That's right. They mentioned that, but I
forgot. Remember the lady that's at Rutgers now?
Vivian Stringer
got her coaching start at Rutgers, and her hallmate was none other than John Cheney.
John Cheney, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't match up, and would have an Earl hosted. It was a nice piece. It's a real nice piece.
Earl's getting real good with TV, because I remember when the Joker wouldn't hardly talk.
That's true too.
Yeah, and most of Bassett Nichols and those during games.
Mm.
Way to grow. We like that. That's www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, pick-a-brack, a day. Not just February. It's a good day for some black history. Patrick, you can finish where you left off, my brother. Throw something in the pot.
I'm going to sprinkle something. I'm put a little sauce in the pot. One is the fact that I got to give big props out to this young lady, Elena Myers. She has now tapped the most medals of any black woman in the Winter Olympics. She has 5 bobsledding over about from 2010 to this year. I got to give credit, you know. So that ain't no joke to do that. And the other one is the fact that, like you said before, they're getting ready for the bullshit. They're already putting the boy from Pittsburgh, the quarterback, as number one pick. I'm going with it. Women, and in that process, watch out for the young man from Liberty, the black quarterback from Liberty. I mean, the job is way down the line, but I'm noticing stuff already. I'm trying to put basketball, football to the side, because I'm concentrating on basketball right now. But they're sticking it out there. Where
guarantee the first thing you hear about him is negative, because they're gonna cut their brother's money. They're gonna mess with his money for real.
And on top of that, Mike, the boy played at Liberty. So know that they're going to find out he's probably dating the white girl behind him.
Who did he play against? That little competition. That's the shit they'll say when they start going on his money.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So. More to come. Stay tuned. Big G, come on with it.
Okay, the Brooklyn Nets. I'm gonna tell you, anybody in the Brooklyn Nets fan, you you need a head examined.
I'm a Jets fan. Yeah.
Here's the reason why. New York mayor is going to reverse the city mayor.
Oh, reverse the curse.
Oh, we all know why he's going to do this. Because Kyrie Irving,
you just forgot Nobel Prize winner Kyrie Irving, but go ahead.
Irving cannot play in Brooklyn. He cannot play in Madison Garden.
True.
So therefore, the mayor changed the rules.
Gary, they will be too as the eighth seed. So go there. I just want to allay the rumors. It was not me that sent in a write-in candidate for you to do a Frankie Lane retrospective. I did not. That was not me. I just want to get out there right now.
That ain't right.
I know.
That ain't right.
On Sunday, there'll be a 1960s.
Nineteen sixties music, I say. Sound like you're gonna get your quarters, put them in the slot. You know, I always wanted the jukebox, and then by the time I could actually afford one, they went out of stock. Oh man, I'm like, damn.
They're around.
Mm-hmm.
They're still around?
Yeah, they're around.
Like, all the good shit's taken out of it. It's like, I wouldn't have the patience to wait up with jukebox now. We're doing music center. But it's like, when I was a kid, I really wanted the jukebox.
Mm-hmm. Reason I know, because my man is barbershop just put one in.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I like stuff like that.
A man cave should have a jukebox.
I agree.
And guess what? You know, all the younger guys in the barbershop left because the young barbers opened their own shop. So now you're getting a lot of records from the 50s, 60s, 70s. It's nice when you walk in there, man.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
To get a little education. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Come on.
The conversation, get an education. Because that's what the barbershop was for me, music and education.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
They put you in your place. Boy, sit your ass down. Let me talk
with you.
Absolutely.
Has anybody noticed the commercials on TV lately? African-Americans. Latino Americans, Asian Americans are every single commercial now.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. It's the kind of commercial. Have you seen that Applebee's commercial? It must have been playing like 20, 30 times a fucking day.
And what you have to understand, I pointed out to my class recently, you've seen, brothers, every commercial you've seen somebody black on it, 60% have their dancing.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad I
black women, white men.
I'm glad.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
I hate it when I go to McDonald's and the damn episode of Fame breaks out.
And the toy salad. I don't even get started. as Gary would say, I'm not a happy camper. No.
What are you doing, Michael? It has been announced that the NBA representative from New York, not the one in Brooklyn, is going to sit Mr. Walker for the rest of the season. They've mutually agreed to sit him for the rest of the season because Derrick Rose is coming back. Well, geniuses, after Derrick gets hurt again after 15 games, then what are you going to do?
Why are they sitting Kimball?
They keep saying it's a knee thing, but it's a Tibbs thing. He basically gave him 19 games to quote-unquote prove himself, and then he sent him to the bench. They're treating him like he's a G League guy on a 10-day contract. This is a NBA All-Star here. This is not some guy that just floated around the league. This guy's an All-Star. He's been a team scorer and all the other stuff.
Yep.
Yes, he's not a very good defensive player. But to basically try to put all of their ills on this one man, and oh, by the way, after Derrick Rose is out for another, after 15 games, and he's going to be out again, then you're going to need another guard.
Well, it goes to why the Knicks are the way they are.
Yeah.
You know what?
This was Mike,
remember I showed you that 7-year-old stop saying my team sucks a year ago?
Yeah.
He's laughing his ass off right now, that 8-year-old.
Well, more's the pity, sir.
Yeah.
Game won't catch up to itself until it catches up with its mistakes. Kyrie Irving, whether they want to say it or not, has become a mistake because they're letting him get away with this. They're letting him get away with this in Brooklyn. If they let him get away with this in Brooklyn, he can get away with it in Chicago, Phoenix.
I don't think so, Mike.
They'll never miss him more than.
Thank you, Fred.
Has anybody seen Ben Simmons?
He's coming back next week.
Oh, he is coming back?
Along with Waldo. They're gonna work that two-man game.
and I'm under the impression from what I'm reading between the tea leaves, he does have some mental issues.
Yeah, it is. If anything, the minute he got traded, he should have been back out on the court. But yeah, there's something else going on, and
that's true.
All you can do, Patrick,
I'm gonna play this next one for Mr. Simmons as we continue our venture funk from A to Z. Tomorrow night, we add it at 8:00. We keep the groove going. Everybody else got to get what they got to get. Once you get from A to B and back to A-OK, we'll see you Saturday on the Grand Upper Cove, Sunday Music Box with G, and Mind Stream with me. Until then, Mr. Simmons, bring your ass back here.
Baby, baby, sweet baby. I'm
that, everybody. Be safe, stay safe, go safe.